You're not coming.
You ask me that every Sunday morning.
Well, one of these Sundays, I think that you might feel the need to come to church.
It's the one day in the week that I can get up a little late, enjoy my coffee, and read the newspaper.
Well, don't you ever feel the urge or the need to pray?
Well, not really, but I can get up and do my praying here at home without getting dressed up.
But do you?
Well, I just don't see the point. Wasting an hour every Sunday morning, going to church, singing old hymns, praying, listening to the pastor do his thing. Figure at least 3 hours. Getting dressed, driving to church. Preacher often goes overtime, so there's more time there. Coming back home. Now, I know some people just feel the need. I'm not one of them, but perhaps you are. You feel the need to go to church. I know some people, like yourself, feel the need to be with God's people, but I just happen not to be one of those people who needs to go to church for their religion. Anyway, you can pray for me this morning.
Well, no, it's getting late. I really have to be going. I'll see you later, honey. Love you.
Love you more.
Today, we heard Luke's account of Jesus taking with him 3 disciples and going up on the mountain to pray. As Jesus was praying, he was transfigured. He appeared in a dazzling heavenly light. For a moment, the curtain between earth and heaven was drawn back, and the disciples were able to see Jesus, not just in his human existence, but as the divine Son of God, the chosen Messiah. Perhaps we might think of this transfiguration as an eye-opening experience, a worship experience par excellence, the kind of worship we might long for when, without a doubt, we know that we are in the presence of God. At one point in the story, it says that the disciples were afraid, even terrified. Perhaps God came too close for comfort. Yet no doubt it was a transforming experience for these 3 disciples. Peter wanted to preserve the moment by offering to build some dwelling places on the mountain where they might stay for a while longer. This was worship at its best.
But you and I know that worship isn't always so inspiring. How many times have you seen a vision of God's glory when you come to church? A service that made God so real that it terrified you. We don't usually expect that flash of light or that voice from heaven. Worship can be downright dull and boring. So why do we worship? Is it out of habit? Is it because the Bible commands us to keep the Sabbath day holy? Is it that God really wants to reveal himself to us, if not in the splendor on a mountain, then in a more ordinary and subtle way in this worship space? When people ask, why should I come to church? What answer might you give? What might you have said if that husband in the opening skit was yours? What is the point of going to church?
Well, maybe we could look at it this way. Why kiss someone you love? Or for that matter, why send roses or write a love note? Why say, I love you? Doing these kinds of things might seem unnecessary. They only make sense to someone in love. Then you want to do these things that otherwise might seem unnecessary or a waste of money.
Is that what you mean when you say, I know you love me, but it sure would be nice to hear you say it once in a while?
You've got it. And it's the same thing with worship. it's not really necessary. God is still God. God is still in our lives. But if God gives us life and health and family and friends and everything we have, then it's reasonable for us to respond in some way. It seems natural to express our thanks to God in some way, and that's why we worship.
I know it may be hard to imagine, but maybe some people never really feel a sense of gratitude to God. They never feel the need to say to God, I love you, or to call out, God, I need your help. They never feel the need to clap their hands and jump for joy, or they don't notice the beautiful sunset or look up at the stars at night and say, wow, the heavens declare the glory of God. Nor do things get so bad for them that they have to cry out for help or clench their fists at God and yell, why is this happening to me?
Fortunately, I don't think there are many people who are so out of touch with God. It's hard to imagine anyone going through life and not expressing something, not responding in some way to the Creator. Yet I guess there are some who feel they have no need to worship.
Maybe if we look more closely at the word worship, it's from the old English word worth-ship. You worship when you believe there is a greater power that is worth our honor and our praise. Someone out there who created us and who continues to love and care for us and the world.
Worship defined in this way seems like a very natural human response to the realization that we didn't just get here on our own and that we're not alone.
And of course, there's another very human reason to worship that I want to mention. What's in it for me? If I go to church, maybe God will reward me in some way. Maybe a special prayer will give me a better chance to win the lottery. I'll get on the good side of God. I'll earn a couple extra points and God will bless me. And then there's also the expectation that the church should not be boring. Make it interesting, entertaining. Give us some uplifting music. Church should be enjoyed. Even put on a little skit some Sunday morning.
Maybe it's not a bad thing to expect that our church going should be enjoyable and entertaining or that it has its rewards. But isn't that putting things a little backwards? God is the one worthy of our praise. It's not really about us. Maybe it's not God's intention that we should always feel better when we come to church. Sometimes God challenges our way of thinking and our way of living. God wants to change our sinful and selfish ways, and we know that's not always easy. So in a sense, worship is a countercultural activity in a society where people put so much time and energy into self-fulfillment and entertainment and material possessions. Worship is designed to change us, which may be very difficult. In fact, it can be downright painful. But we know that it will lead to a new and fuller life.
But can we blame busy and serious folks who want to succeed in life for asking the question, what's in it for me? To attract people to church, we need to promote its benefits. Some churches advertise as friendly. Come and meet new friends. Like the old song, the more we get together, the happier we'll be.
I happen to like the way worship stimulates my mind. It helps me to think more deeply about life. Like when a sermon uncovers some inner thought or challenges me to live a more useful life in today's busy world.
You know, I've also heard people tell me that worship is good therapy. It helps them get through the week. It helps them relax and unburden themselves of stress and maybe even lower their blood pressure a little bit. It gives them an inner peace.
I think everyone needs to worship, even those who don't acknowledge the need. like the husband in today's skit. I know that some people don't bother until they come to a difficult time or a crisis. Then the need to find God becomes more urgent.
Okay, I agree that worship has its benefits and it can be good for you, but maybe we should also say that worship helps you do good. Worship doesn't always have to be a feel-good experience for yourself. I read somewhere that genuine worship is always followed by an intentional coming down from the mountain to come back into the real world and to give ourselves in service.
Well, I guess that's why Jesus prevented Peter and the other disciples from remaining on the mountaintop.
Yes, and if we read what follows in Luke's account of the Transfiguration, the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, they were met by a father begging that his son be healed. Jesus shines not only on the mountaintop, but also in the everyday valleys of life where people are served.
So worship is not an escape from the real world or make us so holy we can't get our hands dirty. Worship inspires and gives us courage to follow Christ in serving others.
It reminds me of a story reporting the conversation between a certain rabbi, Joshua, and Elijah, the prophet. The rabbi asks Elijah, "Where shall I find the Messiah?" "At the gate of the city," Elijah replies. "And how shall I recognize the Messiah?" the rabbi asks. Elijah replies, "He sits among the lepers." "Among the lepers," exclaimed Rabbi Joshua. "Doing what?" "Changing the lepers' bandages," Elijah replies. "Changing their bandages one by one." Even the Messiah, the one worshipped, comes to serve.
I'm reminded that in our Reformed Church liturgy, after the approach to God and after hearing God's word, there's a third part of the service in which we are invited to respond to God's word. After we have been fed and nourished ourselves, we are called to share what we ourselves have received.
Of course, we come to worship expecting that we will get something out of it for ourselves, a little inspiration, a sense of peace, a healing of wounds in our own lives. We expect the music and the prayers and maybe the sermon to lift us up a bit. And then there's nothing wrong with these personal benefits, but my point is that if we only think about what we can get out of it, then where is God? We get so caught up in our own experience that God is no longer the center of our attention, and we miss the opportunity to take the next step of sharing God's love with others.
So what do you think brings us together for worship today?
Well, here's what I think. We come here week after week, even when we don't feel particularly inspired, or we don't like some of the hymns, or our minds wander, or the service goes on for too long. We come nevertheless because we're looking for God. Or to put it a better way, we come here because God is looking for us. And what better place for God to find us than in church, where we've been able to get away from some of the other distractions of life that keep God in the shadows.
I think we come to church out of a sense of gratitude. Even if I weren't a pastor's wife and folks expected me to show up in church each week, I would probably still come to worship for no good reason other than to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, to use a phrase I learned from the catechism when I was a teenager.
When we're able to put aside our agendas and give attention to something other than ourselves, then sometimes God's glory is revealed. Perhaps not in such a dazzling and bright light as on the Mount of Transfiguration, but we come to see and know God here. We feel God's peace and comfort and forgiveness and healing and motivation to serve others.
It's one of those strange ironies that even as we serve God, sometimes we're the ones who end up being blessed. For instance, I sing in the choir because I want to serve God through music. But sometimes, in the midst of an anthem, I'm the one who is served. I am lifted up. I am blessed.
Yes, we may hear that same voice that was heard on the mountaintop. You are my beloved. Jesus had a difficult journey ahead of him, knowing that it would lead to the cross. So maybe this transfiguration was as much for him as for the disciples.
And maybe our coming to worship will give us the courage to follow the way of the cross and give us a glimpse of the glory of Easter.